From StoryFlow, this is your daily audio brief for July 9th. Riley, July 9th, the day in 10. Let's begin with the story drawing the most coverage. Let's get into it. First, from BetaKit, Ascent makes first acquisition deal with purchase of German firm iPoint. Ascent, a Canadian company, has made its first acquisition by buying German sustainability software provider iPoint. This move is part of Ascent's effort to expand its compliance offerings, particularly in the area of supply chain transparency and material intelligence. iPoint's expertise in material product compliance and environmental impact assessment will be integrated into Ascent's platform, while Ascent's supply chain compliance and regulatory expertise will be made available to iPoint's customers. The acquisition is expected to benefit both companies' customers, who will now have access to a more comprehensive platform that provides a complete picture of their products, from supply chain to environmental impact. This is particularly important for companies operating in the European Union, which has introduced new regulations for manufacturers, such as the EU Ecodesign for Sustainable Products Regulation and the upcoming Battery Passport. Ascent CEO Michael Southworth has stated that the company's goal is to provide its customers with a complete understanding of their products, from the materials used to their environmental impact. The acquisition of iPoint is seen as a key step towards achieving this goal and is part of Ascent's larger strategy to grow its revenue to $250 million. The combined company will have a stronger presence in Europe and will be able to provide North American automotive manufacturers and distributors with iPoint's sector knowledge. The acquisition will also create a more comprehensive data network, which will enable Ascent's customers to use AI to get answers about their products and suppliers faster. Overall, the acquisition of iPoint by Ascent is expected to improve the company's ability to serve its customers and expand its presence in the global market. The move is seen as a strategic step towards achieving Ascent's growth goals and is expected to have a positive impact on the company's customers and operations. Next, second, from Ali Watch. BondVet and SmallDoor merge to form one of the nation's largest premium veterinary networks. BondVet and SmallDoor have just combined forces, creating one of the biggest premium veterinary networks in the country. Together, they now run more than 55 clinics across the Northeast, Mid-Atlantic, and Midwest, caring for 500,000 pets with a team of over 1,000 staff, including more than 170 vets. SmallDoor built its name on a membership model that pairs each family with a dedicated care team, offers 24/7 telemedicine, and keeps pricing transparent. BondVet grew a sleek set of clinics that cover everything from routine checkups to urgent, dental, and surgical care. The two brands will keep their names for now, and the existing teams stay put, but they'll gradually move toward a unified experience. Florent Payer, SmallDoor's co-founder, will serve as CEO of the merged company, while BondVet's president Joe Altobelli steps into a strategic advisor role. Dr. Jamie Richardson will oversee clinical operations and medical standards across the whole network. Both companies have raised substantial funding, SmallDoor about $118 million, BondVet around $245 million, so the merger is well-backed. The move comes as pet owners increasingly look for high-quality, tech-enabled care, and the combined network plans to keep adding locations in its current markets. In short, two like-minded teams are joining forces to make veterinary care smoother, more accessible, and more consistent for families and the professionals who love their pets. Up next, third, from Arch Daily, Alva House / Felipe Caboclo Arquechura. Alva House was conceived based on a careful reading of the natural characteristics of the site, located on the shores of the Marimbondo Reservoir in Minas Gerais, Brazil. From the very first design decisions, the landscape became the primary guiding element of the architecture. And then, fourth, from Design Milk, Studio Very gives a Victorian London flat gallery-like calm. When architect Nick Very received the brief for Moraine House, one request stopped him in his tracks. For more than two decades, the clients, a couple based primarily outside Cambridge, made use of their two-bedroom, two-bathroom Marylebone flat located in a Portman Estate mansion block dating back to the 1890s a few nights a week mainly for work. While in town, they habitually took to the city's vast culinary scene. A kitchen, they reasoned, was simply unnecessary. Next, fifth, from Power Magazine. New gas-fired power plant in Alberta will serve data center development. A Canada-based consortium is moving forward with plans for a major natural gas-fired power plant project in Alberta. The Greenlight Electricity Center GLEC is a proposed $3.20 billion 932 MW gas-fired combined cycle power generation facility that will serve a major data center development. The post new gas-fired power plant in Alberta will serve data center development appeared first on Power Hour magazine. Up next, 6th from PV Magazine USA. Fluke introduces portable hoisting tool to mitigate ladder installation risks. Fluke Corporation has launched the PV Module Lift, an unpowered hoisting kit engineered to safely transport solar panels up standard extension ladders. The manual tool addresses a critical safety bottleneck in residential and commercial rooftop solar installations, allowing crews to remain compliant with OSHA standards by keeping 3 points of contact while climbing. The entire unpowered system weighs 33 pounds 14.97 kg and packs into a portable canvas bag, eliminating the logistical hassle, fuel costs, and setup times associated with motorized or gas-powered ladder hoists. And then, 7th, from Crypto Potato, Solana FUD hits 2026 high. Why it could be a bullish twist. Solana's recovery appears to have lost momentum after it shed over 6% in the past week. As it currently trades near $77, it is facing its most negative market sentiment of 2026. In fact, Solana's trading volume has dropped to its lowest point in 2026, while negative commentary surrounding the asset has surged to its highest daily level this year, according to Santiment. Rebound setup emerges. Much of the disappointment stems from expectations that strong narratives around tokenized stocks and real-world asset RWA activity would translate into stronger price performance, something traders have ye. Next, 8th, from Protos. Buy SDRC and make 28%? Traders say no thanks. SDRC by Strategy, formerly MicroStrategy, is now offering investors more than 28% upside potential if it returns to par and pays its dividends over the next year. But investors keep selling it anyway. Over the last week, SDRC has declined 2% and is down 11% in 30 days. Up next, 9th, from Print Magazine. Designing 1776, Juan Carlos Pagan's commemorative stamp for America's 250th anniversary. This past week, Americans celebrated the 4th of July while also marking the beginning of the nation's year-long commemoration leading to the 250th anniversary of the signing of the Declaration of Independence. Milestone anniversaries like these have always inspired more than celebrations. They have produced some of the country's most memorable design work. And then, 10th, from The Present Age. Trusting chatbots with our ballots at the worst possible moment. Robert Siebelink was staring down the kind of ballot California specializes in, 61 people running for governor, and that's just the top line. So the 54-year-old Democrat from California did what a growing number of Americans are doing, according to a story Jennifer Mediner wrote in the New York Times on July 4. He pulled up Claude and Anthropic's chatbot, uploaded his ballot, and asked which candidates fit his values. It helped him narrow the governor's race down to two Democrats and talked through the strategy with him. That's the day.